And we are live. I'm Michael Angley live. It is December 6th, 2018, counting down to 2019. So, first of all, I got to say, man, I tried to behave myself for an entire week while I was watching this former President Bush eulogized in the media all the time, nonstop, ad nausea. I couldn't even escape to my little picker show on the History Channel because they had to cut that out to put in all kinds of stuff about Bush. And I'll tell you this. Okay, he was the president, and it goes as far as that. But we don't need to honor people like they're kings and queens. We don't need, especially mediocre politicians. You know, and I wouldn't feel the same kind of angst if it had been a couple of days. You got them in the ground. It's over and done with. People move on. No, it has to be this big, long, drawn out, weeks long celebration of his life. This guy was not a nice guy. If you've ever read the book, The Bush Crime Family, you'd know all about them. So if you think about these people in the context of what they truly are, and instead of these lofty fantasies that people build up that, you know, wow, he's just this amazing person. No, these people are people who own pharmacy, or pharmaceuticals. These people are oil barons. Did you know that Prescott Bush, the you know, matriarch of the whole family, had his business taken away in World War II because they were supporting Nazis, aid and comfort to the enemy. And out of the same family, you have these presidents. So Bush rode Reagan's coattails in on Reagan's popularity, even at the end with Reagan, I don't recall, and the whole Iran-Contra thing, all that stuff. Even at the end, people still, because I think Bush ran against Mondale, and it was a no-brainer, right? It was a no-brainer. You have a situation where, you know, you only have two choices, and two choices is not a choice. You know, you need at least three or more to make it an even deal. But he got in, right? Was a terrible president. Lied through his teeth. His big famous line was, read my lips, no new taxes. And they got in, and that's all they did was levy new taxes against people. So really, I remember when Bill Clinton came in, right? That's right. The same Bill Clinton that we all know and loathe now because he is attached to a lot of negativity, let's say. Plus, you know, people accuse him of being this horrible sex offender. And there's things that you just can't get past and or forget, right? And I have no reason to defend people, number one. Number one, because I just call it how I see it, you know? I have no reason. But like when John McCain went down, much the same fanfare of like he's this legendary figure and he's this, he's that. You know what? He was a freaking politician, a civil servant. And when they think that they're more important than other people is why we have problems today. But when Bill Clinton got in, when Bush was out, voted out, he lost the election, he was gone. Clinton whipped his ass. When Bill Clinton got in, it was like a breath of fresh air because, you know, he was a little younger. He played the saxophone. I know it sounds silly, but Clinton actually connected, and he had Hillary Clinton, who was largely quiet in those times. Like we remember that Whitewater scandal, a whole bunch of scandals. In fact, I mean, Clintons are scandals. Is the word in a dictionary for scandal? They should just make it Clinton, because that was kind of how it went with him, his brother, the big druggie, the whole bit, and then you know, money he had taken from Tyson Foods, for instance, who had polluted 42 major rivers throughout Arkansas when he was the governor of Arkansas. People accused him of rape. People accused him of molestation. Whatever. As true for Bush, you know, they said that don't stand next to him because he's going to grab you and feel you up if you're a female. So that's great. You got this person that they're honoring who is just Mr. Touchy-feely potato head who never did anything, was just a rich bitch all of his life. They didn't do anything for anybody, nothing. You don't honor people like that. You put them in the ground and you don't say much about it. You don't honor them. There's nothing honorable about them to honor. So stuff them full of onions, stick them in the ground, and get on with it, right? And it's that simple. But man, I'm still turning on the boob tube and still seeing this dude's, this weasel's face. I was trying to keep it in. Trying to. It didn't work because I couldn't take it anymore. It's like, all right. You know, you try to be like, okay, the guy died. I'm not going to go out there and do my war dance. It's done. No, it's not done, because they have to go on and on. What a great man he was. He wasn't. His kids weren't too. You know what? Should have taken both of his sons and pushed them on top of the coffin and covered the whole thing with dirt, because this is what these people are worth. And if you know anything about them, you know that what I say is absolutely spot on, man. So this is the world, the fake fantasy world that people make up that we're in. And these are wealthy, powerful people. They are robber barons. And then what they do is just use people as pawns and make them fight amongst each other for their bones. And that's it. Here's a bone. Go fight over it, right? Meanwhile, they got the best of the best of the best. They don't have to think about anything. They don't have to worry. They got no money problems or nothing, man. These people got the best of the best of the best. And they're not even like in Saudi Arabia, where a billionaire can be hung up upside down by his toes, right? That Saudi king. Now, you know what? It's interesting how you have all these politicians in America now saying, this is a lesson to hypocrisy. Over the Khashoggi killing, right, who is supposedly a journalist for the Washington Post, which doesn't help the matter if you tell me something like that, because I know the Washington Post now is an illegitimate news publication. You can't call them news even. They're just a publication of what they put forth as the news, and they make it up as they go along, and then so many publications now you just can't trust anymore with the information. But good. This guy was a friend of Osama bin Laden, Khashoggi, right? A friend of Osama bin Laden. This guy was big in the Muslim Brotherhood, right? This guy is part of organizations that hurt people, kill people, his friends, the whole bit. He was not a nice guy. But I'm not going to condone chopping somebody up, flushing them with acid, and then putting them down the drain. You know, not going to condone it. But is it our business? Is it our business? So out of all the big libtards out there that scream all day long, all night long, that we shouldn't interfere in the Middle East, stay out of the Middle East. Oh, it's all for oil. And you want the Middle East or whatever. Oh, yeah. Oil, man. Like the Bush family, oil runs through their veins. And then, you know, the Bush family was very close to the Bin Laden family. The Bin Laden family had oil companies and a huge construction company in Saudi Arabia. Most of the attackers on 9/11, if you remember, and I mean most of them, with the exception of only a couple, were all from Saudi Arabia, as was Osama bin Laden, as was this guy Khashoggi. So this guy Khashoggi wasn't liked by the Saudis, right? And then he goes in their embassy in Turkey. And that's your first mistake. Your first mistake is that you don't walk into a place like that with the reputation that you have, knowing that the Saudi king wants to chop you into pieces and flush you down the toilet. You just don't do it. Because if you do it, you deserve a Darwin Award. You deserve an award for being so stupid that you walked into the middle of the den of inequity, man, and you got your ass handed to you. And that's exactly what happened to him. And that's exactly where he is right now. Sad for his family, whatever. But I'm not going to say anything good about the guy because I have nothing good to say about him. But, you know, Saudi king denied it, whatever. These people lie. They all lie. Trump lies. He lies. Hillary Clinton lies. Obama lied. Oh, lie. A bunch of liars. You know what? When you understand politics like I do, you know it's all bullcrap. It's all a bullcrap story. So this Saudi king, no matter what, you know, first of all, you enter an embassy that belongs to the country of origin. It's like being on their soil, right? So the laws basically end at that door, and they begin for that country at down the other side of that threshold. And this guy, you know, limboed over the wrong line, man. And then that's it. So they're now the liberals who say don't get involved in the Middle East, stay out of the Middle East, are screaming at Trump, you orange bastard, you're not getting involved, this poor man, he was a journalist, get involved, go after the Saudi king. So either, which is it, get involved or don't get involved? Get involved or don't get involved? Which is it? And should we get involved? You know, the hell business is it of ours? You know how many people we kill in this country? You know how many people that we've killed over the years? You know, not one or two or three, a lot more than that, and for a lot less also. You know, same for Russia, same for China, same for all these countries. Yeah. You can't trust the government. Sure. I think we know this already, man. And if you don't know that, then you just heard it. You heard it here first. If you don't know it, you heard it here first. You know? So my take is we got enough damn problems. You know? And this dude, this Saudi king, who is a prince anyway, the king, well, I guess he's the king now. He hangs people upside down by their toes, billionaires, you know, like, he has no problem doing that. He has no problem executing women. He kills them all the time. You know, he has no problem doing all that. These countries are no bastion of freedom. You know, these countries, I mean, and some of them, if you're caught speeding, they'll chop your kneecaps off. Serious, you know, especially places like Iran. These are countries that rule by fear and the iron fist, you know. In Saudi Arabia, it's our iron fist in the Middle East, along with Israel. And you don't have to like what they do, but they do serve a purpose. What that purpose is totally, me personally, I'm not sure. Because it's just a political balance, and it's more for Israel to make it so all the countries around them don't just attack them all at once, destroy them completely, you know, because Israel certainly is not a nice neighbor to a lot of people also. So there's a lot of just problems, period, that go on. And as you keep going forward, if you're Israel and you keep taking land from people and killing them and putting up settlements, you know, so you're killing these Muslims or whatever they are, and you're putting up Jewish settlements. You're basically just, you know, rolling out this carpet of Jewish settlements, and it makes people angry. It pisses people off. You treat people like they're subhumans, and it's never going to end as long as they do that, right? And this is the deal. So Israel and Saudi Arabia, even though they're on opposite sides of the coin, is still the same coin. And then they have mutual enemies, you know, and we eliminated Osama bin Laden. He's out of the picture, but yet you have remnants of bin Laden and people like that running around, especially all through Afghanistan, which we still see American soldiers die. And every time a soldier dies, I wonder, you know, what the hell are they dying for? Well, you know, we need to stop the, you know, or suppress, they're not stopping anything, they're suppressing these terrorist organizations. You know what? We could do that by air. We could do that with drones. We could do it all kinds of ways. You know, boots on the ground in a situation like this, and they're just maintaining. You know what they're maintaining? They're maintaining the right to oil. Again, yeah, sure. You know, is that what it is? And then, you know, while we're in Afghanistan, they found $1 trillion, $1 trillion worth of lithium, which is a hot thing. People need lithium for their devices and whatever, not including the gold. And who is the big mining company in there? Who owns it? It's Dick Cheney. Isn't that funny? How these guys get their hands in, especially the oil company. Remember Dick Cheney's $7 billion no-bid contract to pipe oil out of Iraq after we invaded Iraq? So it is what it is, man. And then some dude walks into an embassy and he pisses people off. You piss on the wrong shoes, you get chopped up and flushed down the toilet. You know, not long ago here in the United States, you do that to the average person, the same thing would happen to you. Now, the only people that can get away with that type of thing are either people in the very higher ups or the people in the very low, 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 right? And that's really what it is. You're not safe in the world of safe. There is no such thing as being safe. And if you piss people off and you walk in the middle of their den, anything can happen to you. But I keep seeing American politicians like, we've got to do something about this Saudi, you know, situation, put sanctions on them or whatever. And I laugh because I'm thinking, don't you guys have anything more important to do than to worry about what some other country who is known for chopping people up, chop somebody up? Don't you have something better to do? Yeah, they did. They went to a funeral. And you know, even that, Trump is sitting there and he was criticized. People criticized him. Hillary staring at him the whole time. We like this evil look. You think she was trying to use some of the voodoo that she learned on the road, you know? She'd been hanging out with a lot of Wiccans, man. Maybe some magic, some black magic on Trump, something like that. Trump was sitting there looking like he didn't want to be there. That was my thing. And Obama was sitting there with his head high. Like, I don't know. He's just, that guy floats on ego. I think he could levitate on his own ego, you know? But I don't know if you pay attention. Stock market's going down, down, down. This is predicted. It's the end of the year. And there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of battles going back and forth. Now you have Congress, who is partly Democrat now. Well, you know, you have a Democratic House who is saying that they're going to stop Trump and everything he tries to do, they're going to stop him and whatever. And it just makes everything react negatively. And they know it. And they love it. They love it. They love it. They love it when the market goes down because they point at Trump and they look what he's doing. It's interesting how when the market's up and things are good, Obama comes out saying, I did that. I did that. That was me. I did it. Me. I did it. And then when things are bad, he's like, oh, look at Trump. Oh, he's messing up, you know, messing up everything I did. And it's just a situation where you're dealing with people that are locked in a box and you're never going to win with them. And, you know, even why would you want to? Why would you want to? I see this Ocasio-Cortez go around and she's funny, man. She's very, 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 you know what? This is my take on it. I think she means well, but that doesn't mean anything in this world, you know? Meaning well, good intentions mean nothing, absolutely nothing. But the arrogance and the ego behind her, and just when she's out there saying, she compared her win. She ran unopposed, by the way. She compared her win to the moon landing and wiring the United States with electricity. You know, that it was a mile marker. Her political win was a mile marker. Before, you had a Democrat in there for you know, decades who did nothing. And then they kind of played up that he's a white guy and it's a Latino area and, you know, they should have a Latina, which is, you know, it's pretty racist, saying that you should have good representation no matter what they are, what color they are, what the hell their religion is, just good representation, right? So then, you know, it's interesting. She is against the establishment Democrats, right? She's a Bernie person, you know, and they feed her on shit all day long. And she doesn't even know how to repeat it or what she's saying. Now she's going on the media everywhere. She's everywhere. And the Democratic media, CNN, certainly is a Democrat channel, you know. I mean, MSNBC, Democrat channel. There are Republican channels. There's one, Fox, right? But instead, when news channels favor a certain side instead of favoring, you know, telling the news and being pretty even and steady about it. But now, you know, Jake Tapper, who hates Donald Trump, hates him vehemently. You could see how shaken he is when he talks about it. He's just full of this fake outrage, you know. I think that these guys are so hopped up that they're never gonna let it go. They're never gonna let go of that fake outrage, you know. They shake. Fake outrage. How dare you wear that red tie? You know? Like, you know, they're mad. They don't know why they're mad. Like a little kid. You know what I mean? Like a little kid hurts himself and they blame the closest person. You did it. It was you. Now that thing will get you hauled away. You don't want to be the one some kid blames for something. These days in America, That gets you hauled away. You'd be going, moving down to Honduras. And the opposite. Get the hell out of town. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of false accusations these days on all sides, especially with this Me Too stuff, man. And you see a headline that says Wall Street companies, large corporations now afraid to hire women because of Me Too, which has multiple implications. And I said that here. We talked about that here, right? So now you got this Cortez. She's really pushing the fact that she's this swift, you know, smart Latina with degrees. She also, you know, since she has a lot of degrees, you know, they push women through college now to get them degrees, because for a long time, women didn't go to college and get degrees. And now they want them to have degrees, and they don't give a crap if they can do the job when they come out. They just want to give them that piece of paper saying that they graduated. They make things easier for them in school. And it's crazy what's going on, you know? It really is. You know, they say gender doesn't matter, but then they include it with everything. And they're changing rules for gender. They're changing rules for color and that type of thing. So if color doesn't matter, why are you changing the rules? And why are you being so gender or color specific, right? So she's on with Jake Tapper on the Clinton News Network, sitting there being interviewed. And he said that, you know, the two programs you're floating is this free college and also healthcare for everybody, right? It's going to cost $40 trillion in 10 years. It's a 10-year plan. $40 trillion, right? And he said, well, I did the math. I totaled things up. And everything that you said that we're going to get the money from, that totals up to $2 trillion. Two. He said, where is the other $38 trillion coming from? Man, was she stuttering and stammering and kind of like just in her seat, kind of like, oh my God, you're attacking me. Oh. And she's probably looking at him like, white male attacking. Oh. And she didn't have an answer. And he was actually, you know, because they are a Democratic channel, even though the Clinton News Network does not support the socialists. Because the socialists want their jobs. They want to get rid of establishment dinosaurs like Hillary Clinton, right? Which ain't going to happen, because it's the establishment Democrats that have all the money. And this woman won her seat by accident. And she has no say in what goes on, because she's entry level in Congress. She has no say, you know? She can't do anything or say anything. But she's out there talking like she can, which is interesting, right? And, you know, obviously she hates Nancy Pelosi, because she's out there attacking Pelosi. And Pelosi, you know, she said she's not going to get that gavel position, whatever. Yeah, of course Pelosi did, because Pelosi raises more money for all the Democrats than anybody, all of them put together. And they're not going to cut off the bank. Not going to do it, right? Because they may believe in socialism, just not for themselves. They don't want to sacrifice anything. How about the French, right? So you have Macron, who is their leader, their president, right? And now Macron, who currently has an 18% approval rating, they said approval rating crashes to 18%. Macron put forth this fuel tax. And part of this fuel tax is supposed to be for climate change and global warming and whatever you want to call it, whatever they want to classify it as, temperature fluctuations. And he did this, you know, keep in mind, in America, I just paid, and I live in an area that gas is expensive, and in New York State, which charges 69 cents a gallon tax, most expensive in the whole country, right? Not including 18-cent tax on excise tax from the federal government, plus local taxes. And then thinking we pay like a buck a gallon for taxes, all right? So I paid like $2.70 a gallon, and gas is going down because of a whole variety of things, right? Now in France, gas is like, they go by liters, you know, but to equal out to a gallon, it'd be like $7 or $8 a gallon, right? Which is a lot. If Americans were paying that, it'd be a revolution. And that's what happened in France. They levied more tax and say, hey, you are going to start paying for climate change. And they were like, no, we aren't. And they rioted, man, rioted. And then, oh my God, what's going on there? It's crazy. So now the Eiffel Tower is going to close. They're planning this, they're called yellow vest, protesters. They protested, they burned cars, they did all kinds of stuff, a lot of violence, people getting attacked, cops beating up people. They had this one unarmed guy, and there was like nine cops with their billy clubs, gendarmes, the gendarmes beating the piss out of you. And these are the same people that like spit at America, look down at America. Oh, your cops commit all these crimes. Ooh, you have all these protesters and violence. Ooh, your president's horrible. Ew. Meanwhile, it's all true for them. And they're mocking Macron because he's a little rich boy and he never had to live in the real world, even though they're the ones who elected him. And he's led around by that cougar, you know, which is kind of funny too. So and it was his teacher. You know, he like screwed his teacher and married her, which is even funnier. That's like some hillbilly shit. That's like some, I think you got to go into the deep south to find something like that. You know, but the French Riviera, you know, like Redneck Riviera, Florida, man. Maybe you find, you know, yep, I married my teacher. we had kids. That's right. So they burned down Paris. They flipped out. Then flippity floppity, hippity hoppity, he reverses his decision and says, okay, no tax or whatever. We're going to roll it back for a time until things calm down so they can put it back on them again. The farmers were so mad, and you don't want to make farmers mad. This is the thing about farmers that you got to know. Farmers have access to manure, which is poop, right? Animal poop, lots of it, gallons. And they wet it down and they spray it in their fields with these huge sprays. I live in a farming community, kind of, sort of. It's agricultural. Sometimes you'll be out cruising around and get stuck behind one of these things. And it's the kind of situation where you just want to pull over and just let it go. And or take another road or turn around and go back the way you came, because it's not a pleasant experience. These farmers showed up in Paris and they're spraying down all these their governmental buildings with this raw manure. And there's one set of windows opened up and they saw that it opened and they actually backed up and just pumped all this manure in there. Now that's how you protest, man. You protest with shit. That's how you do it, you know? You spray it right in their faces. So it's just interesting to me, all the problems they have. They're calling in 89,000 security forces will be deployed around the Eiffel Tower and through Paris on Saturday. Saturday is the big day. You're going to hear a lot in the news about riots and protests and whatever. Don't expect, you know, I mean, like, don't be surprised when other stuff happens there too, because in the midst of all this hysteria, you still have a terrorist element there, you know, lots of them, as a matter of fact. The same thing for England. You know, every time we see a terrorist attack over there, the police always say, oh yeah, they were a known terrorist. A known terrorist. So you know they're there. You know what they're planning. You know what they're ready to do, but you just let them do it. And then what? You know, and then what? So same thing. And look at Australia, man. Australia just passed this crazy law, a series of laws that say that they can spy on anybody through the internet in the world, whether you give them permission or not, or nothing. And then you don't even know that they're doing it because they're looking for terrorists. And it's, you know, and I could see, yeah, you want to bust the bad guys. Of course you do. You want to make people safe. Of course you do. But if you're sitting there, if you're in the UK and you say, well, there's 37,000 known terrorists in the UK, what are you freaking doing? Arrest them. Charge them. or just get them out of your damn country. These are people that don't belong there, obviously. You know, same thing for France. But they're going to sit there and they're going to suck down all that poop. No pun intended. All right, pun intended. And say, but look at America. Ooh, but look at America. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have our problems, you know. We're a huge country of over 330 million people, plus a lot of illegal aliens. We have our problems for sure. But in France and the UK, they have unbelievable weak leadership. And the one thing that you can't say about Trump is that he's weak, because he's not. Crazy makes you strong. Crazy makes you strong. And he's a crazy man. He's a joker in the deck, and he's making these deals. You know, the stock market, you know why the stock market's suffering? I'll tell you why. And I talked about this a long time ago, because the growth happened too fast. And he said the growth was going to happen fast. And economists said that the growth happens too fast, it's going to mess things up. But the market already laid the ground. It's going up, it's going down. Now, these money guys, the guys who are the big millionaire, billionaire types, they're playing the market. They see something go down, they buy. They see it go up, they sell. This is how they make their money, and they're all playing this game. They're messing around with China, with the tariffs, this talk of war, Russian warships and American ships, China warships and American ships. All that sounds crazy, but it creates a balance. It was a balance that we didn't have. It's a balance that actually creates jobs. It's sick and it's twisted, because it's not like a thing that, okay, we just want to work for evolvement and, you know, and we'll grow. We'll grow through our artistic endeavors and love of nature and the world. That doesn't work. People don't do that. These are liar, cheater, thieves. Look at the Clintons. Oh, now the Department of Justice says in 2017, they received a variety of whistleblower complaints about the Clinton Foundation and how they lie, cheat, and steal, and had misappropriated billions of dollars. There are countries that said the Clintons were given billions, you know, like Haiti. The Clintons were given over $1 billion to help Haiti. And then now Haiti says they didn't do anything. They didn't build anything. They didn't do anything. They just went there. Probably Bill Clinton went there to, you know, look for some chicks. Some hard up earthquake and storm type of chicks, man, because these people are, that's what they are. They're carpetbaggers. They're cutthroats. They take advantage of people, you know, people who are weaker than them, people who can't defend themselves. So that's the world that I'm sick of. I don't know about you guys out there. That's the world that I'm sick of. And then when they honor them, like they're dignitaries, like they did something, like they cured some disease, or they helped a bunch of people, or they were great people in of themselves, just did great works, that'd be great. But they don't. They honor the lowest freaking scum you can find. And what kind of message is that for this youth out there who's getting all their information from their stupid Google, or from their iPhone or whatever? How many of these people, how many of these millennials are like, you know, F the establishment, F the corporations, and then, you know, while they're saying it, they're using an iPhone, you know what I mean? Going, sending it through Google, making their statements on their social media. So people are deluded, man. They're deluded. The revolution that they think is an electronic box. It's an electronic box that knows everything about them. It knows what you like. It knows what you don't like. It knows all kinds of stuff. See those little tests that they throw up? You know, like, you know, what's your Batman character or something stupid like that, right? And they ask you 50 questions, all kinds of personal questions, you know, about your neighbors. You ever think about that? You ever, like, take those things and think about what the hell does that have to do with it, you know? But yeah, man, people are escaping. It's escapism. They're escaping their mind. You know, to them, it's some kind of frontier that they're escaping to. But it's not. It's an electronic box. It's a false thing. It's a fantasy land that's not even a good fantasy at that. You know what people do? They go in there and they spend their time fighting with each other. That's a good fantasy. How many of you fantasize about fighting with people, you know, once you're like, you know, one of those martial art, hey, MMA type, I'm going to go in there, which isn't realistic because face it, they'll kick the crap out of you. You know what I mean? Because most people have little weak arms from pushing buttons. They don't exercise. They don't care. They said that only 29% of Americans are really body healthy. 29%. And those are all the ones that I see on YouTube pushing their exercise stuff, right? And you know what? The world is spinning out of control. And to get it in control, we really need to take each other into consideration and have that equality and understand that there's better goals to work for and stop letting corporations rule our lives, you know, and that's really what it's all about. And you can't trust the sources. You know, when people say, hey, you know, like they'll put an article out there and then somebody will come out and say, oh, no, Snopes just, you know, debunked this and whatever. And then it turns out that Snopes is run by some freak who's this big, you know, liberal dude who hates Trump and whatever. And then all the stuff they put out there is inaccurate and it's all based. You know, the guy like married a hooker too. And like, this is a crazy story. And look at the character. You know what? This is what I like to do. I'm going to teach you a trick to deal with people who are crazy and out of their minds and spouting off all kinds of facts that aren't facts, right? I say, who are you sticking up for? You know, I ask them, who are you sticking up for? You sticking up for this politician? Did you know them? Oh, well, no. Like, did you know them? You go to their house, you're friends with them. You don't know anything about them, right? You just know what they do in the media and what they say and that type of thing. How about this? What have they done for you? What have they done for anyone? What's their history? What's their legacy? What have they done? And, you know, people start thinking on a different level, like when you know when people take a stance and they're like little chihuahuas, they get crazy, and you got to kind of bring them back into reality and say, hey, you know, you're sticking up for somebody who isn't worthy, you know. And when you start looking at the backgrounds of these people, you know, one of my fans reached out to me a couple weeks back, and he said, he's like, I like your take on Hollywood. And, you know, cause a few weeks ago I talked about there's a lot of people in Hollywood and in the music business that are like the worst form of scum. You get the Harvey Weinsteins and the sex traffickers and the drugs, and especially the drugs, you know, all this stuff going on, right? And these people do terrible things to each other. They do terrible things to themselves, and they live horrible lives. And, you know, maybe to them it's not. To me, in my perception, it is, and it's something that I wouldn't partake in. But when you think about what evil really is, and if you're going to describe what evil is versus good, everything that you would describe about evil and how people suffer and all that and how low they go is what Hollywood puts out there and what the music business puts out there. Then these same people make movies that push out the same type of vibe, you know. I mean, like, look at that dude, who am I thinking of, man? Oh, how about any director? Steven Spielberg. Spielberg is the guy who puts out a big liberal message, and then if you walk away from a Spielberg movie, you're not going to feel terrible. So he's not really pushing a horrible anti-political thing or whatever. He doesn't push violence and he doesn't shop that around. But there are people that do push violence. And then they're the ones who come out, you know, who they'll say, violence is bad, violence is whatever, but my movies are violent, but we're doing it for a reason, right? You know what I mean? And then I say, you know, how do you feel about that? Like a psychiatrist, you know? how does it make you feel? Like when you walk away from one of these movies, you know, how do you feel about that? And look at these people and what they are, and why would you want to be around them or, you know, be part of what they are at all? So let's talk about this, man, because Quentin Tarantino, right? This dude is a big time liberal, and he's out there trying to, you know, defend the illegal aliens and do all these things, you know. It's kind of funny. The illegal aliens who have committed crimes and they're free to roam, they're in sanctuary cities where they're free to roam around, even though some of them are hardcore criminals and they commit more crimes and then they still look the other way, which is crazy. But Quentin Tarantino has made probably some of the most violent, horrible movies you've ever seen. You will not walk away from one of his movies with a feel-good feeling. Which, so, I mean, what do these images do? What do these images do to you? What do they do to your brain? What do they do to your to your body and your psyche? You know, all these images. And I'm not saying that horror movies are bad, because there are horror movies that have great endings and you walk away with a kind of a thing, or you can watch zombie movies all day long, which basically, one way or the other, they're going to get somewhere in the movie. But movies that are violent for the sake of violence, and then movies that are unnecessarily violent, like the Quentin Tarantino movies, you know, and then he comes out against violence. Right. But obviously he's not against violence since he makes these horrible, violent movies. So this dude in an interview said movies don't influence people. And the interviewer says, so what people see doesn't influence them at all. Right. The interviewer was a young guy. He didn't go. And obviously he wasn't looking to push against him, against that point of view, you know. But I'm thinking, why do they spend millions of dollars on commercials if what people see doesn't influence them, you know? I mean, like, commercials irritate me. I don't like them. And I try not to watch a lot of TV because commercials irritate me, and I don't like them. It's that simple. And you really can't get away with it. And I'll tell you, man, you're sitting there watching TV, and there's commercials come on. Here comes your bank of commercials. There's several of them. And they're like, about medical conditions that I've never heard of, about a drug, got to buy this drug for this condition. You know, they got that one with people that with psoriasis, right, and skin condition. And they got, and all these commercials are so politically correct, and they're all, they're not even full of men anymore, masculine men. They're like these manginas or effeminate dudes or whatever, you know, and I've noticed, it's to the point where I've noticed it. It's to the point where I'm like watching commercial after commercial now, thinking, well, you know, is this really what they're putting out there? And if it's a guy, he's just some doofus, you know, idiot, whatever. And then they're kind of pushing the narrative that women are more intelligent in these commercials and these shows now. And it's a false narrative because, you know, both groups have people who are smart. Both groups have people who are stupid. It doesn't really matter. But They're trying to get away. The politically correct world doesn't like masculine men, doesn't like white men. And then this is what we're seeing in a lot of commercials now. So anyway, in fact, there's one I got to talk about for the Range Rover, right? And I was even looking at Range Rovers because I was like, hey, I like the styling or whatever, something new. There's a commercial. They all feature the same family. And then here's this guy. He's a mangina. He's kind of just, he's the sponge of the family. You could tell that he's the wallet with legs. That's how you treat him. In one particular commercial, he gets into his Range Rover, right, Land Rover, and then he gets hit in the neck with like a paper clip, you know, like someone opened up a paper clip, put it on you know, like a rubber band and whacked him in the neck. And he's like, ugh, you know, like Bane. He puts down, you know, the one of the features of the car is the whole row of seats can go down so you can see. Kids can get out and look at these kids. He like puts the row of seats down. And there these kids are like laughing at him like, you idiot. Ha, ha. Yeah, we just hurt you, you idiot. And he's like, oh, he makes a face like, ugh, you kids. Now, a real guy, any guy, your kid does that to you, you get out and you beat the brakes off their ass. You beat their asses. You spank their asses like they don't ever hurt you again. Because those kids have taken a step in the world of violence against their parents. And it's not just a silly commercial to me. It's a real statement, you know? And yeah, people do absorb. You think that kids that see that would think it's funny? Oh, that kid did it. It's funny. I'm going to do that to my father. And that father probably beat the brakes off of that. Another one, same family, right? They're at the beach. Their Land Rover's on the beach, Range Rover, whatever. And then this guy, big family, two young boys who were evil, who, you know, they just hit him, made him bleed from paperclip. He's stuck in his neck. And then his wife floating along like la 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 on her phone, and his daughter sauntering around. This dude's carrying all the stuff. He's got the surfboard. He's got the ball. He's got no balls, but he's carrying balls. He's walking around. He's got the ice chest. He's loaded down. You know, this guy's looking for early retirement from a coronary, a cardiac arrest. They're making him work because they know that sucker hits the ground. They got the insurance. They're set, and the Range Rover. So the wife doesn't help the guy like, here, let me grab some stuff and help you. And, you know, the kids can carry some stuff too. No, they're all running around. This dude, she's like, oh, no, hold on. She's on her phone. She's like, yeah, let me open the car door with my phone. Like, bloop, bloop, bloop. And he's like, oh, thank you. Thank you, master. So that irritates me. The commercials for the drugs irritate me, you know, because I don't have that condition or know anybody that has it. Even irritable bowel syndrome, which is something that you get around election time, you know, irritable and tax time. Can't forget about that. But when they list these conditions, I was like, who even has that? And it's not like you're sitting there with irritable bowel syndrome waiting for a commercial to come on to save your life. You know, like you're sitting there like, oh man, you know, my ass hurts. And you're sitting there, this commercial comes on. You see a commercial of some guy getting hit in the neck with a paperclip, and he's got to be rushed to the ER. Then you've got this commercial like, do you have irritable bowel syndrome? You're like, yes, I do. Can you sit on a couch? You sit on one of those inflatable donuts? Yes, I do. Well, here's this drug. And you're like, oh, my God, I've got to get this. How come my stupid doctor didn't know about this drug? I'll go tell my doctor right away. And that's the thing with me. If you have one of these conditions and you have a doctor, of course you're going to go to your doctor who's going to prescribe the thing. Hey, doc, what should I use? Well, I would use lighter fluid. And until then, until we find something better, stick with lighter fluid. Man, I've been putting lighter fluid up my ass, and it hasn't helped at all. In fact, I think my bowels are even more irritated. And when I fart, I burn the house down. not a good situation, you know? Can't walk past barbecues or open flames. It's pretty bad. So the commercial saved your ass, but yet it didn't. And then you listen to, like, the side effects, you know? It could cause early death there, you know, numbness in your legs or arms and, you know, seizures. And death, numbness, seizures versus hurt ass. I think you would take the hurt ass over all these other things and maybe stop using the lighter fluid because obviously it's not helping. But I see these commercials and I'm like, so what percentage of people? So they spend millions of dollars on these commercials, millions making them, millions airing them. And I know since I'm seeing a large quantity of these commercials and they mean nothing to me, you may as well, you know what, put a Dr. Pepper commercial up. You might get my interest. I'm a pepper. You're a pepper. He's a pepper. She's a pepper. I'm thinking I need to have one of those, even though a commercial has never made me buy anything, but commercials have turned me off to products where I don't want anything to do with it. Nothing to do with it. So, sure, I like a Dr. Pepper in a glass bottle every once in a while is nice. Maybe every 6 months or something. You know, I don't want a Range Rover. because the people in that commercial, I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be there. I don't want nothing to do with it. You know, and if it can't go 0 to 80 in 3.5 seconds, I don't want it anyway. Right? Because I have needs, man. I got needs. Right? But like, oh man, that the one with psoriasis. Then you gotta sit there. You're trying to eat dinner. You like to eat a little food while you watch TV. People do. It's a great human tradition in America. People like to sit in front of their TV and eat. And then you gotta see someone's irritable bowels, or you gotta see someone's like gross skin and say, oh man, look at my horrible skin condition. Here, let me give you a close up of it so you know how I'm doing it, even though only 3% of people have it. So I looked it up. And some of these things, only 3 or 4% of people out there in the world have it. So the fact that you're gonna air that commercial and target somebody that might have this thing, it doesn't hold water. So these companies are spending money just to spend money, you know? And it's really, that's that simple. Oh man, they got Ray Liotta. He's on one of these commercials because, you know, Chantix, right? I quit smoking and, you know, it helped me. First of all, he looks pretty scary now. I don't want to see him. Second of all, I don't care about his smoking. I don't care that he quit smoking. I don't care that he smoked. I don't smoke, so I have no reason to care about the Chantix or whatever. They want you to walk around with these pods like stuck to your body, you know, instead of going in, getting a shot. Here, put this pod in the back of your arm. You know, man, I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be dead. I see commercials for diapers all the time. These guys, you know, here you have, then you have your masculine guy. He's wearing diapers. You know, you have these, he's like playing football and basketball. Then he goes into his little private bathroom and then he puts on these diapers and they show him putting on his diapers. I don't want to see that. I'm trying to eat a sub. I don't think about your diapers. Try to have some chili. Can't eat chili with some cheese and sour cream and look at your diapers. And I'm like, that ain't me. You know, the second I can't control myself, I'm going to go live at the beach and then poop in a hole and cover it up like a cat. I'll walk around wearing a muumuu or just be naked. Naked at the beach. People are like, what's that old man doing down there? You know? He looks like he's covering something up. That's right. It ain't no buried treasure either, buddy. So this is the stuff that just kind of like when I see it, I don't like it. And then I have to say something about it because it's ugly. Talking about ugly, last story of the show, General Motors, right? Government Motors. Remember how Bush started the ball rolling and Obama picked it up? And then Obama heavily funded $15 billion bailout, plus, right? And now they're laying off tens of thousands of people right before Christmas. They're closing plants in a whole bunch of towns, which kills those towns. It castrates those towns because most of these plants, these towns are reliant on those plants and those workers. So this was supposed to be the push to keep these jobs, you know, in play. And now GM's like, no, we're going to keep our plant in China. We're going to keep our plants in Mexico, but we're going to close these plants in America. Now, Trump is livid. He's flipping. And he's like, okay, you know, whatever cars you send over the border are going to have so much taxes and tariffs attached to them, you're not going to ever make any money. You know, but I'll tell you this, man. As you look for new cars and whatever, GM is a crappy brand to begin with. But to do this to people and hurt people like this, and be that kind of company for the woman that's running this company and her crappy ideas of doing this, man, it just goes to show you that she can't run that company. They need to find another CEO that's going to run that company. And then, or they should pay back the $15 billion that we put out plus for their crappy company so we can get other businesses to come in. Because Toyota, Japanese company, they didn't need any bailouts. You know, Nissan didn't need any bailouts, BMW, all that. BMW is opening up another plant in the United States of America. And what would you rather have, a BMW or a Chevy? You can't compare the two. Oh, man, you know, they have, you know, looking at Corvettes and things like that, 80, 90 grand for a Corvette. You got to be crazy. I'd rather have a used Ferrari at that rate. But BMW is going to open up a new plant in America and then pick up tens of thousands of jobs. You know, that's a company that I can support, a company I'm happy to support. So, you know, in your quest out there to buy stuff and think about these corporations and how they use and abuse people and push them around, so just give them that F you. I'm not going to serve you. Not going to buy your product. You're just a crappy company. And then nobody should have bailed them out to begin with. Sure, let them go out of business then. They weren't going to go out of business. They would have gotten bought up by somebody else. So, you know, put your faith in people who support you. I'll end it with that. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley Live. You're going to see me at the beach in a couple of years covering up my poop on United Public Radio Network, and I'll be broadcasting while I do it, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Pass Christian, saying adios, muchachos. Ah.